You are listening to Mind Over Matters here on KCMU 90.3 FM. At the beginning of this year, the media carried stories of a leaked Department of Energy report, which stated what had long been argued by many, that up to 600,000 workers employed in the U.S. nuclear weapons program had received excessive doses of radiation and may be suffering from multiple types of cancers. Since then, the DOE and White House have proposed a compensation package for the injured workers and are in the process of placing that package on a congressional fast track. But there are many who are highly critical of the DOE's offer of compensation. Jay Truman, director of downwinders.org for over 20 years, and himself a downwinder, has been at the forefront of the fight to bring the downwinders case to the court of public opinion. I spoke with him by phone this week about the DOE proposal and about his organization.
Yeah, we were formed in the 70s among people who lived in the areas immediately downwind of the Nevada test site and who had been there when they had conducted the above-ground nuclear tests. And we moved from that into basically victims' work in general, from uranium mining to test site workers to facility workers, and went from a regional to basically international in scope.
How did you get interested in this issue?
One of the first things I can remember in life was sitting on my father's knee out with our cattle watching an atomic bomb go off, seeing the mushroom rise out of the desert and that type of thing. And it's always been a part of life, and so has the health effects and family and friends and so on.
So you grew up seeing the atomic blasts down in Utah? Or?
Yes. Wow. Yes, we lived almost on the Utah-Nevada border in southwest Utah, just north of St. George. And we had ranching and farming interests over the line in Nevada as well.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What was that like? How many explosions or tests did you see while you were...
I think checking from my... my diary that I kept, and also the journal my mother did, around 30, give or take a couple, of actually witnessing, you know, light up the sky and that kind of thing.
And what was your reaction as a child to that?
They upset me a great deal. They scared me. And especially when, on one hand, we were always told there was no danger and there wouldn't be any problem, and yet you could turn on the radio or even the TV when we got it, and hear Linus Pauling and others debating, you know, the fallout debate, and saying that, you know, for every megaton tested, there'd be X number of cases of leukemia among children, and then seeing clusters of childhood leukemia start showing up.
Did you share that same feelings with other children, the fear of what was going on then?
Yes. Whenever... anybody was to, it got to the point that where if you were a kid and you had a nosebleed or two out of the clear blue, that was the fear. I remember when I have a sister that's 10.5 years older than I am, and when she had her first child, he developed anemia. I mean, he went real pale and white, and that was the automatic assumption that it was leukemia. It turned out not to be, but that was the fear that was there. And then following that, it was cancers in general, and with the same kind of fear, to the point people would not even want to go see the doctor over a health problem because, you know, well, we know what it is anyway. We've had it.
Were there government representatives that would come by and tell people that there was nothing to
we
fear?
We had them in our schools about every 6 weeks, and we had them in town a couple of times a year. With their little road shows, you know, that there is no danger, it's safe, it can't cause any problems, and we have to keep it up or the Russians will be here in the morning. And that went on and on and on.
And did you generally feel better after they'd been there, or did you feel like you'd been further snookered?
In the beginning, it was just something that happened, and it was upsetting because they played propaganda games. Frightened us a bit. And then later on, it was just like, you know, what are you doing standing here lying to us? And to the point now that they don't do the road shows anymore because they get yelled down for spreading BS.
And how long were you in, did you live in that area?
I lived there until I graduated from high school and my first 2 years of college, and then I moved out.
Now you currently reside in Idaho, is that correct?
Yes, in Idaho, yes.
Seems somewhat ironic to me that I believe with the recent studies they did on the Nevada test site explosions...
At the Fallout Pass, yes.
A lot of it came raining down onto Idaho.
Yes. I am living in a county that had more fallout than the county where I grew up.
Did you know that when you moved, prior to moving there, or was that...
Oh, yeah, I knew that. See, we had tried way back late 70s and early 80s to drive that point home that the fallout had not stopped at a county line barbed wire fence somewhere in Utah. But it had spread nationwide, and therefore there would be victims nationwide. And it was that pressure which forced Utah Senator Hatch to order the to get the Congress to order the National Cancer Institute to do that study you were talking about.
So, just a couple months back, then to bring us up to the current date, the Department of Energy came forward, and the Clinton administration, and admitted that perhaps they did actually injure nuclear workers, people working in the atomic weapons section. And they're offering compensation now to some of those workers.
Some of those workers.
What do you see? Do you see this as a good step forward, or what problems do you see with what they're offering?
I see it as deja vu, sitting there watching the press conference that DOE Secretary Richardson had here on April 12th. That was my first reaction, as deja vu. It just is so much like what they did and tried to pull on the... people downwind of the Nevada test site 10 years ago. It's a little bit frightening.
What happened 10 years ago?
10 years ago, the government approved the RECA Compensation Act, Radiation Exposure Compensation Act, which was supposed to provide justice for everybody, which turned out to be the poorest excuse of a compensation bill. It limited the fallout to 9 counties, and anyone outside of those counties were not eligible, and the highest fallout areas of the country were not even remotely close to the counties that were covered. The list of cancers was way lower than it should have been. It didn't include, originally it didn't include test site workers. It didn't include all of the uranium miners. It mainly included white uranium miners. The Native Americans were basically excluded from it because of the provisions that had to be met. They could not meet those requirements. There was no recourse to appeal. There was no medical care, just a lump sum payment of $50,000. And it did more harm and caused more problems and hurt feelings among the population it was supposed to be helping. And it very soon became clear that it was more a public relations compensation act than it was a radiation victims compensation act. And it's the same thing. You know, a corner has been turned. We've reached a new milestone. I mean, some of the same phrases that were being used by the Richardson is the same that they said to us.
So, on this specific act that they're coming forward with, I believe they have stated that the estimate is 600,000 workers.
Workers were exposed, and maybe as many as 3,000 of them might receive some compensation.
So that is like less than a percent.
It's 0.5%. Again, we have a public relations compensation act compensating the Department of Energy and the government for any public relations embarrassment they may have been receiving over the years from their screaming victims, in my opinion. It's another what we always refer to RECA as blood money. our blood and their money, so we won't tell anybody. And I think this is the same type of thing. And it doesn't cover everybody. It covers workers, but it doesn't cover residents who lived off-site of the same facilities and who received just as much, if not more, exposure than the workers did. They are not covered.
It seems fairly limited in how much it will cover, even those that few thousand people.
Yeah, and if you take and read the fine print, there are enough loopholes that you could sail a fleet of Titanics through them, so that very few of those who think they're going to be covered will actually end up being covered. There's time limits, and there's different technical things, and in the end, very little has changed. Other than the White House will be able to get it passed and then say, well, we did the right thing, we have resolved the problem, and it's over and done. It's behind us. And it'll be another 10 or 15 years before the victims who were excluded from this bill have any hope of forcing Congress to look at it again. And sadly, by then, a large number of them will be dead.
It seems in some ways that if we just focus for a minute on just the workers, that if only half of 1% are going to be compensated, that you still have obviously a sizable number there who are going to be very irate and very upset.
Yes.
Isn't that a bad strategy just from the DOE standpoint?
Yeah, except that the White House and the DOE is moving heaven and hell to railroad this thing through as rapidly as possible before the victims realize that only 0.5% of them are going to be compensated. I mean, a good example of the real problem is that we're talking about 600,000 workers, and we're talking about how maybe 3,000 of them may get compensated. The National Cancer Institute fallout report on Nevada testing said that nationwide the fallout caused up to a quarter of a million cases of thyroid cancer. And yet, compensating the Cold War victims is only going to be 3,000 workers. I think that makes a statement as to both its sincerity and its real value as a measure of justice.
From the standpoint, you are a downwinder yourself, and you're representing a lot of other downwinders that are not being compensated at all in this bill.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that there's been a rift going now because of this, that's actually been going for a long time, but this is just exacerbating it, between actual nuclear workers and downwinders.
Well, I think that's the government's intention.
So if they take care of just the nuclear workers,
and they can divide the victims and get them fighting amongst themselves to the point that the victims can't unite and force the government to do what is right. That's what they've always done. With the RICA stuff, they originally left out the test site workers. They tried to kick out the atomic veterans. After RICA was passed, the Nevada congressional delegation pulled some fast maneuvers and managed to get some of the test site workers attached. Additional work supposedly got the atomic veterans covered, but yet only 30 of them have received any, out of 250,000 exposed, have received any major. This divide and conquer of what we've always referred to as being the difference between justice and just us has always been the DOE's policy. That way it reduces the number of unified victims.
So I understand right now there is a effort amongst downwinders to try and either get a separate bill introduced or to get an addition to the current compensation bill.
Well, what we would like to see is the entire problem addressed. If we're going to provide justice for this nation's Cold War victims, then that is precisely what we should do, and that means all of them. from the uranium miners on one end of the process to the test site workers and atomic vets and downwinders who ate the fallout produced in the plants and facilities by the workers in between. Everybody needs to be treated equally. No favoritism to any one side. We felt that way when we opposed RECA 10 years ago because it didn't include the workers, didn't include the atomic veterans, and so on.
How many people would you estimate are in that group?
Probably the bulk of the American population that was living during the 50s and 60s. To really address the problem, we may, the main thing that needs to be done is to make sure that everybody has proper medical care to start with.
So we're talking tens of millions at the low end.
Yes. And that is something the public needs to have to face up to one of these days. The National Cancer Institute report said that 160 million Americans received excessive doses to their thyroids from iodine-131 from the Nevada test site alone. Hanford released huge amounts. INEL released emissions. Oak Ridge, Paducah, Portsmouth, Rocky Flats, Savannah River, on and on and on. And you cannot say one group or one select population deserves help for their illnesses and not everybody help. The public needs to know that the Cold War didn't just extract a huge financial cost and $3 trillion worth of national debt. It also extracted a huge human toll. And only by forcing the government to admit the extent of the problem and the number of people who were exposed is that message ever going to get driven home. And if that message isn't driven home, there's never going to be the kind of awareness and concern to prevent there ever being another situation like that from occurring, where the government can kill its own and get away with it.
Where can people get some more information on some of these numbers you're talking about in these reports?
They can check out our website. We're trying to keep it updated as current as we can to what all is going on with these compensation bills. There's now three different versions to do with the workers and another version out there to try to fix problems with the original RECA. They can check out our website. That's www.downwinders.org.
Let's talk about these compensation bills that you all are working on. I understand that the government's, the Department of Energy's, has put forward its bill.
The White House's version. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they are working very quickly to get that through the House. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, get it through Congress, period. They want to attach it as a rider to the Defense Authorization Bill.
I mean, we're talking something that potentially could happen in the next...
Couple or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, in secret, just as the decisions that victimized everybody occurred.
Do you know offhand the number on that defense bill? Is that something that people can...
It's just the Defense Authorization Bill.
Okay.
No, I don't know
okay.
the number.
But I'm assuming that obviously that's something that almost assuredly every year or every 2 years goes through, but still people calling their congressional representatives might have a chance to influence. Do you actually think that's possible?
That's possible, especially to say, hey, let's take this thing out of there and let's put it out on the table and let there be some public discussion, public hearings, public comments, public participation in the process for a change.
Now, assuming that bill does go through, which seems actually like a safe bet at this point in time, you yourselves are working on other compensation bills trying to...
Yes, and probably we'll take some legal action as well.
People, if they go to your website, they can find out details on these compensation bills as well?
Oh, yes. We just put up a couple, the text of a couple of the versions today. We have them all up there.
And one thing that seems unique about this is that yourself and the other downwinders have had absolutely no say in any of this process so far. Is that right?
That is exactly the case. Yeah, we have had no input. We had no input in the RICA either. Well, of course, nobody had any input into their own victimization either. That was all done behind closed doors and decisions made on high.
So one of the things you all are calling for seems to be, for one thing, that the Department of Energy should not have a hand in any of this bill.
Absolutely not.
And what would you see as the best way, then, of developing a structure to come up with a solution for this?
I think the first thing that has to be done, it has to be taken out of the hands of the Department of Energy, and it has to be taken out of the hands of the White House, and it needs to be put in a format where the public has a voice in the process, where there isn't a rush to judgment and see how fast we can slam something through Congress, but where there is hearings and committee meetings in the open. And I think that's the only way, is where the public can have a say-so. And then we'll see what all the different victims actually want and don't want. At this point, I don't think we really know, because nobody's bothered to ask across the board.
Let's go back a little bit to when Secretary of Richardson became in charge of the Department of Energy, mm-hmm. and David Michaels was...
And Dr. Phil Urpain, yes.
At that point in time, it seemed amongst the downwinder community that there was a sense of hope that with someone new in charge...
I don't know about among the downwinder
community,
because we'd already had experience with them before. I think the other workers felt that way. We felt very skeptical about it.
Interesting. So what was, from your perspective, what was the history with him?
When he started working on this, he always talked about how the plight of the poor Navajo uranium miners was the guiding light in his life on this issue. And we all know out in the West that he hasn't done one damn thing for the Navajo uranium miners, including made no effort when he was in Congress to see that they got included under RICA, which he continues to use as the example of how they resolved all these problems, including those of the poor Navajo uranium miner. And, you know, we've been there, heard that, had that done unto, and we didn't find much. And we've had DOE officials for 20 years out feeling our pain, and the pain's still there. At the same time that Richardson constantly talks about how hearing about all these Navajo uranium miners dying drove him on, the government is not doing anything to push the reform of RICA so that the Native American miners are fairly represented, and the administration hasn't even provided enough money in this year's budget to fund the claims that will be filed this year under RICA. In June, RICA runs out of money for the year. So you can't have it both ways. You can't be all concerned and want to get something done for somebody over here and yet not provide funds for what you're already supposed to be doing.
So would it be fair to say then that when he was appointed as head of the DOE that in fact you were somewhat distressed by that?
I figured it was business as usual. It is the Department of Energy after all. You know, I think how when they've had when they have had hearings about the workers, they have steadfastly refused to hear from any victims other than those the DOE wants heard from. Hanford downwinders were not allowed to participate. Off-site residents of even Oak Ridge and Paducah were not allowed to testify.
So, again, looking at the DOE coming forward and saying they injured these workers, and then coming up with this very lightweight, to say the least, compensation. Do you think any of this was good for your cause, or do you see the whole thing as a setback?
Oh, I think it's good for our cause if we deal with it for what it is and we don't let them get away with it. They can try to railroad this thing through in a hurry, but that doesn't mean that we can't take the bolts out of the tracks in the process and leave that train sitting there and leave them with some explaining to do. So the ultimate verdict will be whether we can take advantage of it or whether they and stop them from getting away with it. And I think we will. I think we will.
Just heard from Jay Truman, director of downwinders.org. If you'd like to find out more information about the organization and read copies of the reports and proposals mentioned in this interview, you can connect to them on the web at www.downwinders.org, or you can mail them at Downwinders, P.O. Box 111, Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, 83246. That address one more time. Downwinders, P.O. Box 111, Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, 83246.